All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. And if you're here, you're wondering, why is crypto down? Why are stocks down? Why is gold down? Is the world falling flat on its face? Why are all of our assets down? We thought it was October. It wasn't. Now we're going for this Q4 rally. You're wondering if it's going to happen. Well, you're in the right place. We are going to break it all down for you as we do every single week. My name's TiVo. Thank you for joining us on a Friday afternoon. I'm also joined by Brian. Brian, welcome. We're wearing all black. You think we might be going to a funeral, but I know that's not the way that we think in these markets. We have a huge sheet to run down with everybody today. A lot of opinions, a lot of educational stuff, and then just to keep the lawyers happy when the markets are volatile like it is today, we're not your financial advisors. This is not personal financial advice, but we do have some thoughts and we do have some research, and we've gathered all the media we can for you today, and we're going to run everything down from stocks to crypto to the AI trade to the meme coins. We got it all for you today. Brian, welcome. Excited to do this with you today, even though it's been a bloody week in the streets.
Yeah, been a little bloody. I wore black just because I want to feel slim today, not because we're going to a funeral. But we're gonna certainly have our own fair share of opinions on what's going on. That's what people come here for, man. We're the perma bulls. Yep. We look on the bright side of things, and we definitely have some bright things. We got some dark side of the talk, but overall, just fired up to be here with you on this Friday.
Yeah, I think we are the perma bulls here. And again, I do have a zoom out. We say that all the time on the show. We do have a link for that. But we can kind of just start off with the macro points. And so I think that the markets as a whole are now kind of getting an upset tummy for how long the government's been closed. And I don't know if you remember this, but we're going to talk about Polymarket at the end of the show. I remember I threw out the 30-plus day government shutdown bet. I just thought it would be a little bit more aggressive than it was, a little bit more of a good odds on that. But I also thought it was a little bit of like a hedge, right? Like, hey, if the government shutdown does last this long, the markets aren't going to like it at some point. And those first 2 weeks, it seemed like nobody cared. Now they're cutting flights. You know, now we're not getting jobs data for a month straight. And so that kind of quote unquote flying in the fog, they can't see where they're going for the Fed. What's going on with the jobs numbers? Is the economy healthy? I think the markets are starting to shake their fist over at the government and be like, hey, you got to get this figured out, you know, Democrat or Republican, like, hey, we're all working here. Like, let's get this thing back open. So I think that has something to do with it. Another big macro thing that we could start off with is the AI short trade. Who's the famous guy from Michael Burry from The Big Short put on like a big short on Palantir and Nvidia. So that got people upset. There's just, and again, we are at all-time highs. So it's like there's a lot of stuff brewing in the markets. But crypto specifically, from the macro thing, what we're seeing is like, hey, retail's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, but the institutions aren't. The institutions are still bullish. They're still putting out bullish commentary. And we have a ton of that to bring to you today, along with our own thoughts. So I guess we can, we'll jump into CoinMarketCap, Brian. I'm going to bring that up on the screen and kind of hand it over to you. As we take a look at the fear and greed index dipping into fear and probably towards extreme fear at this point. But what are you seeing?
Dang, we're at a 21 right now. I was expecting a little bit extreme fear because I think it was earlier today or maybe over the night. I think we dipped under $100,000. And as everyone knows, that's such a key psychological number for myself included. I want to see Bitcoin above 100 grand. I know fundamentally nothing is broken with Bitcoin, with Ethereum, with Solana. We're going to map out a ton of reasons why we're as bullish as ever. But right now, Bitcoin sitting right around 102 actually feels okay because just an hour or two ago, we were right around 100. So it does feel like we keep bouncing off that 100 mark. Ethereum close to 3,400. Solana right around 160. We've been trending around this area for some time. And if you watch the rundown, if you're part of our community, I've been pretty vocal that I believe that we were going to chop for quite some time in a pretty tight range. I didn't really think we were going to dip below 100 grand. Maybe that's the perma bull in me not believing that. But it doesn't feel as extreme fear as, you know, crypto Twitter, the timeline is. We're looking at a pretty strong overall crypto market when we talk about the administration, we talk about ETFs. Of course, nobody likes volatility. I say, like, in the present moment. I don't like volatility in the present moment either. I don't like to see us go up to 126 down to 100. It doesn't make me feel good. But really, when there is volatility, there's opportunity as well. And like I've been preaching, is that the bull thesis is still intact for digital assets, crypto, the United States becoming a crypto capital of the world. This is all real thoughts in what people are pushing out there. And fundamentally, nothing's broken. But retail is scared. My text messages blow up whenever we take nasty dips like this. And I don't have a lot to say other than like, hey, just sit on your hands and dollar cost average in, because overall, things feel okay. Even if we had another 5, 10% downward movement, I still feel okay about where we are. And like you said, TiVo, and I think you and Brendan, I watched your show on Monday. Everyone's got to check that out as well, that you were saying zoom out. And I think that's great advice.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? Because I know I am. The Bitcoin credit card by Gemini earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it like any credit card. You buy lunch, you get gas, any of your weekly grocery expenses, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight into your account. All that with no annual fee. And right now, you can grab $200 of Bitcoin. That's right, a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus with the Gemini credit card. It is the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees. Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body actually is? I found that out firsthand when I took the True Age test from True Diagnostic, and it completely changed the way I think about my health. With just a simple at-home test, you can find out your true biological age with no doctor visits or labs. Just a quick, painless finger prick. You mail in your sample using a prepaid package, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you will get a detailed online report about your aging and health. The test breaks down how fast 11 key systems like your heart, brain, liver, and lungs are aging, plus 75 longevity biomarkers covering things like metabolic health, immune response, and disease risk. Your biological age, how old your cells and organs really are, is actually the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases like heart disease, cancer, and dementia. That's why knowing it can be life-changing, and that's exactly what True Age helps you do. They made it so easy to get my blood drawn, show me my results, and give me the data so I could make the perfect action plan for me to better my health. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code Crypto101 for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com, code Crypto101 for 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, again, Brendan, I talked to Brendan on the phone this morning. He wanted to give the listeners just a hello and say that, you know, we were talking about this on Monday. Technical analysis wise, 100's huge.
not just only technically, but psychologically. And then if that does break, you know, it's going to be an elevator down to, you know, that 90 to 94 level. Is going to be that next level of support. And then you can see down here, we have the tariff lows, which, you know, if it broke that, that would terrify everybody, but that's down in the 80s. But again, for technically, like as Brendan says, you know, if you take the fundamentals and your personal thoughts out of it, like some technical, the technicians of the world could say like, hey, you could, especially on a 1 year chart, you could test any of this at any time. Depending on what's happening in the macro and the thesis towards Bitcoin. So again, not saying that that's going to happen, but that's why we have such a, you know, diverse team between Brendan, Brian, Joe, Bryce, Rohit. Like we kind of try to give you guys all the angles we can. And then again, we have our own opinions and we hope we want to educate you and help you with yours. But, you know, yeah, I got the same text this week. I was out at a trivia night with the boys on Wednesday. I got, you know, Tampa Terrence asking me what's going on with Bitcoin. Grant, friend of the show, he's in the chat right now. He's asking me what, you know, when's this pudgy penguin? When's it going to fly? So we show up. I think that's credit to us. It's like, hey, we do 2-3 shows a week. So yes, when the volatility's high, you know, I don't think any of us have ever sat here and made, you know, certain predictions, especially in short time frames. But again, it's the zoom out. I have a whole zoom out. Let's just hit that now, and then we can go over the long-term holder thing. But here, I'm going to share this. So it's like, let's get some perspective, because I know we've been doing this show for a long time. It's like, hey, even with the pullback that we're in right now today, Bitcoin's up 300% since the ETF 30 months ago. That's 80% annualized returns. And so what I think the problem is a lot of people, you know, they go chasing, you know, whether it's the leverage, and we learned about this huge leverage wipeout. It was the largest in history for crypto, not just 2-3 weeks ago. So again, there's bodies going to be floating to the surface that needs to get worked through the system. You know, if you're a long-term holder and you're not playing around with leverage and you have the right allocation to Bitcoin, you know, I don't know. I hate turning on the charts and seeing red as well. But again, I just hit that 1 year or 3 year chart and I'm like, oh man, you know, really, really, really been crushing it. So I think we all need to zoom out, but let's talk about, this was in the chat on Monday as well. You were in the chat and we were talking about the long-term holders. So again, the macro risk is all just for anybody that's coming in late. We're talking about risk assets being sold off. Bitcoin's obviously leads the way with that. And then you saw the stock market follow. We've got the government shutdown. We've got the tariffs in the Supreme Courts. We're also seeing some whales selling some Bitcoin, basically just saying, hey, I got a, you know what, 50, 100X, 1000X. It's like, it's time to sell some. So Brian, what kind of data were you seeing around that? Because I thought that was really interesting to see these giant whales. Basically, you're selling to the institutions at this point. It's a unique event.
I mean, that's who they needed to sell to be completely honest with you. These Bitcoin whales that were buying Bitcoin at, like, let's say $100 a pop, they have more money than we could ever even dream. And they probably, most of them, I could imagine, didn't really want to sell into a pump early on before ETFs because there wasn't enough liquidity. They would absolutely cratered the price. I think long-term holders I read was about $44 billion, around 405,000 Bitcoin in the month of October. So there's certainly some huge whale holders that are selling into these ETFs, obviously, but they needed to wait around for the ETFs to come about to actually sell their bags. And then there's the whole thesis behind the four-year cycle, and a lot of these OG whales really, really believe in the four-year cycle. So with that, with the ability and the liquidity of these ETFs to actually finally take some major profits, it doesn't surprise me. And something with the ETFs, I think I saw trending in, correct me if I'm a little off, I apologize, but I think the break-even price for a lot of the ETF buys are like 89,600. So we're sitting right around $100,000. So, you know, it's a pretty tight gap there where the average buy-in on these ETFs were right around 90,000 bucks. It almost feels like that is a true built-in floor. I personally don't think we're going to go down that low, but never say never. I really love the setup here for Bitcoin. And in terms of these OG whales selling, I'm overall bullish on it because they're redistributing their funds. They're pushing this Bitcoin out to the masses, to more retail, to more institutions at the end of the day. We have less holders that have millions and billions of dollars of Bitcoin, finally taking some profit, distributing it around around to different wallets and different holders across the world, and they're going to eventually run out of Bitcoin to sell. And once that happens, there's going to be way less sell pressure. So the month of October, $44 billion from OG wallets were sold in Bitcoin. And I believe we only had about $4 billion in ETFs. So that's a pretty big spread. And they can't do that every month. That's going to dry up. And I think we're going to be off to the races again.
It reminds me of the GBTC sell-off. Because if we remember when the ETFs went live, obviously, there were a ton of people that were in the GBTC, and their fee was the highest. And their thesis was, hey, we have all these people locked up. They're not going to want to sell because then you got to do the capital gain. So they had this kind of, compared to all the other ones that came in really low, obviously like Bitwise and others that were like the lowest, there was a pretty big delta there if you had a lot of Bitcoin in this vehicle. So I think just in general, it was a good liquidity event. Like you just said, for that is like, you know, people were selling their GBTC, and we would look up the, I forget exactly what was it CoinMarketCap, or there's that ETF website. We were seeing the flows, and it was like all these flows were green, 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 you know, BlackRock green, Bitwise green, ARK green, all these green inflows for the ETFs. And then there's just this huge red wick for GBTC. And it took months, I think, for it to go eventually stop selling and go back to green. But could be similar here for the whales. Again, when you bring up the ETF, it's a great stat that it's up 300%. But let's not forget when the ETF went live, similar to this GBTC sell-off, the ETF goes live. It was like a sell the news event. There was a pretty solid little correction there for Bitcoin, and kind of we were all sitting here on the show being like, yeah, this doesn't make sense to us. But again, price action, you know, can stay more crazy than you could stay liquid sometimes. And that's why you need to be careful and, you know, have your risk management and be careful of the leverage. And I found this meme. I tweeted it out. Sometimes memes just kind of, you know, you need memes in this world, as a former meme Navy SEAL myself. I think it was, let me go, I'll share this tab. So it was basically, this is how 80% of crypto Twitter, why does everybody feel miserable? And it's because this little top of right of the pie is people who are winning on crypto right now. There's the Bitcoiners, Bitcoin heavy. They're up, you know, 300%, like we said. People that caught the Sol trade, you know, Sol was trading at like, you know, $10 below at one point during the last bear market. We got the meme. We got the people in the trenches like Brian. If you're in the Momentum Moneymakers group, and as always, I got the link down in the description if you're interested in doing that. You know, you get the first alert for all these memes. It was, you know, November 23rd through March. And then again, last year at this time, we were having a great meme season. And then some people smaller that got the Hyperliquid. And then there's everybody else. So again, it's not an easy market. It's not meant to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Everybody would win at a huge level. That's why, again, we preach, especially for our community, is like, hey, we got to have some long-term plays here. And, you know, Bitcoin's always been a big part of that. But any thoughts on this one, Brian? I thought this was pretty funny. Funny, no, I mean, that's like funny, but it's true. It's like funny because it's really true.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, we preach, you know, I'm part of Momentum Moneymakers, and we do some very speculative buys every day. But the whole point is to catch some big wins and rotate it back into the majors, into the Bitcoins, Ethereums, and Solanas, because honestly, that's where the majority of everyone's portfolio, not financial advice, that's where the majority of everyone's portfolio should be in. I really love the setup for Bitcoin right now. I feel like the risk to reward here, buying some Bitcoin, is absolutely massive, because even if we take another 10% down, which I don't think it's going to happen because we seem to be bouncing off of that 100K mark pretty strong. But even if we went to those channels like 92K, I think a lot of people are saying, doesn't feel all that bad. But in my personal opinion, with 401k allocations, financial advisors talking about Bitcoin and crypto every single day with people, the current administration will go on and on. I feel like the risk to reward to just stack in Bitcoin right now feels like a great play. Something I'm personally doing.
Yeah. And again, long-term view versus short-term sell-off. It's kind of, you got to decide what camp you're in. And It's, you know, plan your trade and trade your plan, as Bryce always says. So you got to decide where you are. And I know a lot of us, you know, we talk about different moves we're making, but we have a long-term account that, you know, we just don't touch. I'm speaking for myself personally. And then I have, I have my options accounts. I have my altcoin account. And like, you got to figure out exactly how, you know, you want to do your risk management. But institutions, you know, again, retail, great transition there. Talking about institutions are bullish than ever because, yes, retail is scared. You can see it on the fear greed. You see it on the price index. But again, I kind of agree with you. We're getting to that level where it's like, all right, if you're not selling after a 20, 30% dip, like, well, what's changed with the fundamentals of Bitcoin? So why would I sell it at any point after this? Because if I'm riding the dip, I'm either buying or I'm just holding. Unless the fundamentals change of the story, which again, we haven't seen yet, you know, I'm not too worried about it. Like you said, I'm trying to stack some more, but let's hear from these institutions. We know the retail is scared. There's blood in the streets. Warren Buffett always says buy when there's blood in the streets, but let's listen to some institutions. I actually have a clip from Matt Hogan here. Matt Hogan talking about exactly this, institutions being bullish. So let's check that out.
What do you attribute the sell-off to, and what's your outlook for the rest of the year?
It's a really interesting time in the market because it's almost a tale of two markets. Crypto retail is in max desperation. We've seen leverage blowouts. We've seen issues with vaults. We've seen issues with yield protocols. And the market for sort of crypto native retail is just more depressed than I've ever seen it. I think that market is close to a bottom. It's hard to find a crypto native investor who still has much enthusiasm for the market. I think the market is shifting into an institutionally driven market. And interestingly, that market is still bullish. When I go out and speak to institutions or financial advisors, they're still excited to allocate to an asset class that, if you pan back and look over the course of a year, is still delivering very strong returns. So my view of the market is we have to get through this retail flush out. We have to hit bottom from a sentiment perspective. I think we're very close to that. And then I'm optimistic that we rally into the end of the year and into 2026 as the institutional investors who are more maybe even keeled about what's going on at a fundamental level in crypto start to drive the market forward. So I'm optimistic, but we do have to finish this washout of retail sentiment. And again, I think we're closer to the end of that than the beginning, but there, you know, there always could be a little bit more downside.
So that's friend of the program, Matt Hogan, basically talking about exactly what we are. Retail scaled, they're getting flushed out, institutions are bullish. Just confirmed this week, again, a true friend of the program, Matt Hogan, just scheduled him for 2 weeks. He's going to come on the program in 2 weeks with Bryce and Brendan. We're going to get a great interview for that. And obviously bring it to you guys. But we love the Bitwise team. I have some information around their Sol ETF once we hit that on the rundown. So more from Bitwise in a little bit. But before we hit that, let's jump over to Charles Schwab. Again, another kind of old guard of the finance, you know, your Goldman Sachs, your Charles Schwab's, your JP Morgan's. I think Charles Schwab and Franklin Templeton were really one of the, you know, the early adopters of the crypto Bitcoin thing, but they're, you know, they're rolling out products. Let's hear from them as well. Institutions, folks, institutions are bullish.
Well, we're having a lot of success in the crypto space. Our clients are engaged in it today. If you look at the exchange traded products that are crypto related, our clients actually own 20% of them. And our clients are coming to our research site 90% more than they were last year. So as a group, our clients are engaged in it, very interested in it. And for most people, they're not actually going onto the blockchain to spend or use Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. And so for them, the exchange traded product is a safe and comfortable way for them to invest. But we're
just going to have more and more exchange traded products, as you see. Like I mentioned, the Sol ETF, and there's many more kind of in the pipeline. But again, the institution bullishness rolls on. Kathy Wood buying more BitMine. BitMine buys more Ethereum this week on the dip. Obviously, that's Tom Lee's Ethereum treasury company. And now ARK buying more of BitMine. They're the $246 million bet, the largest ETH treasury company in the world. They own over 6.5 million shares. So that's, again, there was a lot more on the timeline as well. We only have a certain amount of time that we can be on the show here with everybody today. But Brian, what's your thoughts? Anything from Bitwise to Schwab to ARK? Let us hear it.
Yeah, I mean, institutions are buying and retail's scared, and that's the time for us to kind of really reflect on what our goals here are at the end of the day, and if we're true believers in this technology and the utilization, and there's just so many reasons to be bullish about this. I mean, we haven't even gotten into the staking ETFs with Ethereum. I love this BMNR play. I am a holder of it, so full disclosure there. But Kathy Wood's obviously a permable as well, so shout out. But I love the aggressiveness here because I think once the staking ETFs come about and once we finally stabilize and start rebounding, this is going to look like a really smart move.
Yeah, BMNR bull over here as well, full disclosure. But, we got Tether buying more Bitcoin. Let's throw up this one. I'm kind of jumping around on the sheet on us, but we got Robinhood considering putting some Bitcoin on their balance sheet. They saw Coinbase do that little press run last week after their earnings. We covered that on the show last week. Coinbase buying more Bitcoin, buying some Ethereum for their balance sheet. Robinhood now considering it. So again, I don't know, man. It's hard to put into, I guess, words how bullish these institutions are. Again, all this legislation that's going on, all this stuff with the SEC and crypto, and it's been such a huge 180 from what it was with the previous administration. You know, these big firms, they don't build these products and start talking about this stuff to just ditch it, 3 months later, right? This is a long-term play for them. And again, while the volatility can get some people in trouble, especially if you're not doing right with your leverage and risk management, I don't know. This just feels like a speed bump on the road.
It's a great call out, TiVo. These institutions aren't buying into Bitcoin and all these digital assets for a 15 to 20% win. There's plenty of avenues for them to find a tons of wins out there. They're looking at this long term, just like we all need to as well. And retail is extremely reactionary. That's something in institutions, that's why we call it smart money at the end of the day. Retail's so reactionary. We need to kind of take a seat back, just realize what our end goals are. I feel like whenever I get these text messages from friends and they're like, hey, what's going on with crypto? I'm like, listen, not financial advice, boys, but Bitcoin is absolutely on sale now. You're going to be looking at this a year, 2 years down the line when we're on the golf course and be like, dang. Like, there was a huge opportunity there. Remember when Bitcoin was just chugging along at 100 grand? That's how back in the day, whenever I was in Bitcoin, whenever we couldn't break 10,000, we got up to 14,000. Then we went back to 7,000. It happened to 20,000. And it felt like that was just like such major moves. I was so depressed whenever we dipped down under 20,000 again. Looking back on that, could you imagine having that opportunity, going back in time, tapping yourself on the shoulder and just be like, hey, literally sell everything you have and buy Bitcoin at 20 grand.
Yeah. No, as we were pounding the table that Thanksgiving, that was when I first started the company, but I first started here at Crypto 101 during the FTX crash. What a time to join. but we built back better, the show and the crypto industry as a whole. But I think I agree with you, and I think there's been a lot of this, kind of the arms race, like what's going to happen with the governments. I think obviously the Trump announced the China deal. I kind of had a funny tweet on that. It was like, hey, inflation's down, the China deal's made, and the markets go, the markets wipe out. So obviously there's some macro stuff that the markets have not liked, but there could be this, like arms race is kind of the theory. I know you have a clip from Pantera Capital that we'll go to, but let's look at this. So, the United States is the number one holder. China is the second holder. And it's a pretty large gap from, one, two, basically a tie there, and then a big drop to three. So it's an interesting thing to watch here. And it's like, okay, if these governments, especially China, I mean, the China thing's really interesting because we would cover on the show, 2 years ago that everything, 3 years ago, whatever, it was banned. It's like Bitcoin's banned, no mining, Bitcoin's bad. And, they were kind of, even during that, probably, confiscating and quote unquote, stacking via confiscation. Now you got to wonder, like, if they're buying, I mean, they're definitely not going to tell, right? So you got to wonder what they're doing under the table. It's like a little bit of a poker game. Welcome to Bitcoin Poker, everybody. Here, I got my poker glasses on. We can throw it on for this segment. We got a little Bitcoin poker going between the United States and China. And we said the same thing. It's like, is the United States going to tell everybody if they're going to start buying Bitcoin? I think eventually they would come out and say it, but it would probably be after a big gain, right? Like, you know, this administration especially, they're not going to come out and say like, oh, we bought it at, you know, 110 and now it's 115. They're going to wait until it's 200 and then be like, yeah, we bought it at, you know, 90 type of thing. So I think that's something to look out for. You brought us a clip from Pantera Capital. So let me tee that up and then we'll get your reaction for that after it plays.
Their adversaries in the U.S. will ultimately buy Bitcoin and potentially other coins, but I would say at least start with Bitcoin. And so I think there's going to be an arms race, right? And there'll be like Dr. Strangelove, strategic mineshaft gap, right? Like, it's going to be a real race. And as you know, there's only 21 million. And if a bunch of people all want to buy a million each, it's not enough to go around, right? And there again, that's why I'm so bullish, because there's just not enough Bitcoins to satisfy countries' desires. I think the U.S. has 200,000 Bitcoins just, you know, from confiscations, kind of a random.
And China has roughly the same, I think.
Yeah, and China has roughly the same. No, I mean, no problem seeing them wanting to buy a million Bitcoins. It's still tiny compared to their balance sheets, budgets, all that stuff. And so if you have 2, 3, 4, like say the GCC wants to buy a million, China wants to buy a million, maybe Russia wants to buy some, U.S., like, it's going to squeeze up like a watermelon seed.
Man, I say that all the time, TiVo, that it's between countries and companies and millionaires and billionaires. We're going to be looking back. And one Bitcoin feels outpriced for the normal person at 100 grand. But we're going to be looking back and you're going to be looking at people that actually hold a Bitcoin and just be like in awe of what they were able to accomplish and how they got that Bitcoin. And right now, 100 grand, it kind of feels like that way, but it's going to go so much higher because there's going to just be a supply squeeze. And I do personally believe it's going to happen quickly. Once it starts happening, people start to get wind of it. It's not just going to be the United States and China. It's going to be Germany, Argentina, Ireland. It's going to be everybody flocking. And, you know, that's when we're riding in your yacht. Wearing poker glasses, having fun.
Dude, tough, you threw Germany on there as the third one. I don't know. They sold all theirs. That's always going to be a fun meme to like go back and look at when Germany sold. I think it was around like 50K. They just the absolute bottom tick for Germany. Shout out to them. And then kind of just one final point on this. I'll share, again, politics aside, this is the President of the United States talking about Bitcoin and what could be this, again, when we're talking about an arms race, you know, are we participating? Who knows?
United States, the Bitcoin superpower, the crypto capital of the world, and the undisputed leader in artificial intelligence. We're leading China by a lot.
Yeah. So, again, that's, you know, he likes to parade all that stuff around, but it's hard to take the other side of anything that is paraded as a huge, you know, talking point / victory for this administration. After year one, you see what they did. I don't think you were on the show. I kind of told Brendan, I was like, I thought it was an interesting pause point where, you know, they got into the office. There was a lot of stuff that went really, really fast. You know, the Bitcoin ETF, the crypto reserve. Obviously the SEC has been working time with the crypto czar, David Sacks, but they gave us a lot, and then now I feel like they're going to kind of put us on the back burner for a little bit, and then they're going to wait until next year. So a year from now, there's a, you know, the midterm cycle is huge for the House and the Senate. And again, even crypto is bipartisan, but I think they kind of put the crypto bros maybe a little bit in the back seat until they want or need their votes again.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Never would I have imagined that I just hang on every word that comes out of, you know, the U.S. government in their stance on a certain subject. I never thought I'd be that guy, but I certainly am now.
Yeah. And one final thing on the administration and the macro. Here's a thought, and it's a little bit of a thought exercise. It's like, okay, you know, this shutdown's gone on long enough. Can headwinds eventually turn into tailwinds, whether it's, you know, not having the data, the government shutdown, or canceling flights? You know, is it time? Eventually it has to end. Everybody agrees on that. But Trump's an old school guy, and you don't want everybody going to their Thanksgiving table talking about the government shutdown. And so I really think here in the next 2 weeks, you know, I personally think, and I might be looking to get some odds on this for bet for Polymarket. My 30-day thing came true, which was great. Cash that out for some good money. But yeah, this thing's going to get resolved in the next, you know, week or two, because there's no way that this old school guy, he loves, you know, his, you know, the holidays and, you know, making a big deal and press conferences. Like, he doesn't want everybody sitting down at the Thanksgiving table talking about the government shutdown, talking about how they couldn't get their flights to go see their family. So I think this gets done sooner rather than later. Huge shout out to the chat. It's going ballistic. We've got Josh, we've got Des, we got Deborah, we got Fitz, CJE, we got Grant, Ryan, and then Ryan Boylan with an absolute, you know, double super chat. What a legend. Thank you so much, Ryan. We always appreciate you having you here. Let's go. Let's keep moving on here. What do we want to talk about? Sol ETFs. So here's something that I personally love tracking, because we talked about earlier in the show when the Bitcoin ETFs came and we had a little bit of a sell-off, the Ethereum ETFs came, nothing really happened. And then again, if you zoom out, obviously Bitcoin, we showed you that early, you know, since it came live, 300%. Ethereum, a little bit more, kind of depends on your timeline there, I think. But if you bought that tariff dip, as Tom Lee's been kind of leading here, you can catch a good narrative. And I feel like Sol had it a year ago into January, where it hit its yearly high and then hasn't come back. And now these, I don't know, dare I say quietly, Brian, these Solana ETFs are going live?
Yeah, I mean, there's too much FUD elsewhere right now, and Solana's just chugging along. ETFs are starting to open up. We're starting to see some nice inflow streaks. I'm a big fan of Solana. I think these ETFs are going to really help stabilize the price overall, like it did, and move the price in a really forward manner. You know, bullish on Solana, and these ETFs are just another reason to be bullish on this entire sector.
Yeah, and let's again, from our friends at Bitwise, I teased it, but we have this is fresh data. So 30 million of inflows into BSOL just yesterday. Inflows every day for the last 8 days since its launch, and that includes down days. So that's what's interesting. So it's that divergence of, you're seeing Solana price go down, but for this, again, this is one product, BSOL. But the inflows for BSOL are up over 500 million in total. It's clear investors want Solana exposure that has staking. So again, if you're interested in a Solana ETF, let's see. I think we've talked about this on the show, and I'm sure Matt Hogan is going to talk about it when he joins us. But trying to get like a 7% staking reward, 0% fees for a limited time. Asterisk there. So yeah, you got to do your own research if that's what you want, or you just want to buy your own Solana and stake it. So many options. But again, there's certain, the reason why I think, you know, we're bullish on this, permabulls, as we like to say, is like, hey, there's certain institutions and certain money managers, they can't go buy Solana. It's not in their rule book. So when these products are being offered, it, you know, again, it might take time. They might not be able to buy them on day one. They might have to wait a month, 2 months, or three to see how the product trades. But it opens the door to a lot more, you know, a lot more money.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And there's going to be a lot more ETFs coming about. And you can tell that there's an appetite for Solana right now, even in a down market.
Yeah, but even in a down market, this is going to be our visions of hope. There's still stuff to be traded. Let's see. What do we got here? CoinGecko data. This was brought you for privacy coins, Brian. What are you seeing in that privacy coin market?
Yeah, I think I put that on here just to really talk a lot about privacy coins overall. This is a few days ago. They've been kind of going parabolic on us. And let's bring up Zcash. I might have linked an article, or we could even look at the freaking Zcash chart. Breaks a top 20 crypto list and hits $600. I'm looking at it on CoinMarketCap right now. It's $711. It is an absolute beast. In the last week, it's up almost 100%. I remember during last week's newsletter I wanted to touch base with our community, because we had some great people within our community asking about Zcash. And Zcash has been around forever, like 2015, 2016. If anybody's curious, it's a privacy coin. It essentially keeps the sender and the receiver anonymous on the blockchain. And we've had like certain agencies go after Moreno, but Zcash is just absolutely ripping in this down market. So you can see there's an appetite for these privacy coins. Last week in the newsletter, I think we were like 360 or something along those lines. I was telling the community, I was like, man, it's up 200% on the past couple of weeks. I don't know how much more it has to go. I was like, I'd love to see a pullback before I bought in. And I watched it every day just continue to grind up. And it makes me salty a little bit because I'm not in the trade, but I'm super happy for everyone because it's great. There's some people really capitalizing on this Zcash trade. And I'm waiting for a pullback. I'm just sitting here saying, like, there has to be a pullback. Nothing goes up in a straight line. But this feels like this is about as close as it can get to something just absolutely V-shaping up into a straight line. I would be looking at a short with any chart that looks like this, but yeah, I'm too scared. I'm too scared. Right. You're basically right
here back to it's like 2018. I mean, obviously that when it launched there and then, but you're looking at that 2018 high right about here. So
I still have a Zcash on one of my Trezors, just one, I believe, from like 2018. So I'm back to break even, baby. But it's wild to see this develop, but I think the story to take from this is like there's an appetite here for privacy coins. I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, I've always worried about overall regulation and if someone's going to slap their hands, you know, from a government standpoint with these privacy coins. But the chart's just up and to the right, and it's exhilarating. Shout out to anybody that's in this trade. I'm waiting to get in. I can't buy it here. I mean, it's up 400%.
No, yeah, totally. But yeah, we love when people win. So yeah, shout out to Zcash. But another beacon of hope. There's you called this on the pod last time we had you. We're just like, you know, the market's a little choppy. We're a little worried here. All we really need is for the McRib to come back, because when the McRib comes back, Bitcoin flies. And then we've just had some friends out on X, friends of the program here. Let's give them a shout out. The Gary Oak. Everybody's tagging. Gary Oak's all over it, tagging us. It's happening. Bitcoin explosion. You were in on it. Is this confirmed? I think people are guessing. Maybe there's a leak here. 11/19, the McRib's coming back. Is this confirmed?
This is as much confirmation as we get, but that's what we do in this world. That seems confirmed to me. There was actually somebody in the chat. I forget who it was. I need to go back. Shout out to whoever that is. If you're in the chat now, please call yourself out. He's like, all we need is the McRib to come back. And I just literally laughed out loud. I had to mute myself because I was like, we need the McRib back because it is one of the strongest correlated aspects of Bitcoin going parabolic when the McRib comes back. And it's a heck of a sandwich too. I'll be out there ordering a couple. My kids are like, oh, it looks gross. And then they take a bite of it. And I'm like, I know, it's pretty legit.
You got the McRib that again, we don't the McRib map here. So jump on and if you see the McRib in your location, let everybody know. So that's a little bit of hope. Again, we're giving hope here, but we're also giving out some winners. So let's give credit to you. I know you called in your first alerts for the Momentum Moneymakers, Avicii. Is that anything to do with music or no?
No. It's a neobank meta. I actually talked about it in this week's newsletter. So shout out to anybody within Momentum Moneymakers. It's been doing pretty well over the past few days. And you know, this is a little alpha for everybody here. I threw it on the sheet because the more I dig deep into this project, the more I like it. The team's shipping updates absolutely constantly. They're shipping an actual card, but this neobank meta, this crypto banking solution seems to be catching some steam. The reason this popped on my radar is because it's a real team. Rom is the developer of it. His real name I can't pronounce for the life of me, but he goes by Rom. He's been very transparent. I love that. The neobank sector's picking up steam, and this is extremely undervalued compared to like other competitors. So what's this like trading at? Like $2.50? Not financial advice. I'm a holder. I'm continuously actually dollar cost averaging in on this because every time I look into it, there's something I like more and more. So I encourage everyone, hey, take a look at it. I'm not telling you to buy it because I'm a holder, but take a look at it. It's a super cool project, and it's undervalued for what they're trying to build. Again, anything could go to zero. These are smaller market caps. This is a $30 million market cap, but there's a potential here for it to really take off. You too, TiVo. You should look into it after the show a little bit. Do a little Twitter search.
All right. Well, we'll take a dive. And then again, if you're interested in those first alerts, I do have the link in the description for everybody. If you're interested in getting the newsletter and the first alerts from Brian and Joe, check it out below. Let's have some fun here. People are saying in the chat they want the crypto bagel too. The McRib and the crypto bagel could bring us to Valhalla. If you had a crypto bagel for breakfast and the McRib for lunch, Bitcoin might be 200K by dinner.
That's good.
All right, what else are we seeing here? A little pump fun. They're still pumping out some pump fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is another project. If you're part of MMM, you know, I like what Pump Fund's building. I think it's a good... The Pump Fund, it started as a Solana meme coin launch pad for anybody that's curious, and especially in this meme coin hot meta, which they're not going anywhere, but they're continuing to evolve. And they just announced Spotlight, and it expands Pump.Fund from really a meme coin platform. They had $850 million worth of revenue. And now they're going to tokenize utility projects, essentially internet capital markets. I love this because this is expanding and enhancing their ecosystem. I think it gives them massive upside potential at the end of the day. So not only are they kind of the leader of meme coins that aren't going anywhere, now they're bringing in this internet capital markets where you can tokenize utility projects. We know what they're trying to build with streaming. I think Pump.Fund's continuing to ship updates in products in innovation in a market that feels a little bearish. So it's one of my favorite tokens out there.
Yeah, I love it. And speaking of launch pads, looks like Coinbase might be doing some work. They're kind of teasing it a little bit, right?
Well, something dinged on me there. I missed what you said.
Coinbase. Oh, that was just this Coinbase video. It's like, is Coinbase looking to launch a launch pad here?
I think so, man. I don't know what it's going to look like. So we all know, like, the famous trader and Twitter personality, Kobe. He sold Echo or Sonar for $300 million to Coinbase. And he has a pretty long tweet thread kind of talking about, you know, how he sees Coinbase integrating it. And then all of a sudden, what, 11:10, I believe, Coinbase is making a pretty big announcement. So is it a launch pad? It's something. So again, it's just another point out there that all these Web3 or huge billion-dollar companies, they're not sweating the 12% pullback. You know, they're building, they're innovating, they're continuing to develop this sector. We got the president talking about how we're going to be the leaders of the crypto world. This dip's a gift, and this is just another reason why.
Yeah, well, the people agree with you that this dip's a gift, even though they might be pumping their own bags here or there. We got CZ giving some full disclosure that he's buying some Aster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he sure is. And he sure is. I have a love-hate relationship with CZ at the end of the day, but... CZ buying Aster, it's for everyone who's curious. Aster's a perps deck similar to Hyperliquid, but it's found on Binance. We'll see what this develops. But with him kind of like acknowledging that he's buying it with his own personal funds, there was a couple weeks there. He couldn't shut up about Aster, and it was just going parabolic. But I think they have something up their sleeves.
Yeah, and then you threw this chart on. It's actually fascinating to be watching right now. Again, you woke up this morning. It was red across the board for stocks. It was red in crypto. There's a bounce going on right now. Well, credit to us for doing the show. I'm sure that's why it's happening. We go live, and you're just starting to see. Let's start with the 24 hours. I mean, Filecoin, 123%. Fet, 82%. Let's see. Any other ones we know? Render, up 50%. Render, we used to, you know, I knew we had some good trades on Render. Near, we saw Zcash, the graph, 30%, 30%, 25%. You know, some of these guys we all know and love. Some of these we hold. Celestia up 20%. So, and then again, I know if we go out, I don't know. Let's start there. Any thoughts here? I know you put this link in before this kind of rip happened. Could be, you know, you don't want to get too excited in 1 hour time frames or 2 hours, but you know, Pengu got off the mat too. It was down 3%, now up, you know, 12%.
Yeah, I think we're kind of finding a local bottom here. At least I hope that's the case at the end of the day, just for all of us to enjoy our weekend a little bit. But it does feel like we touched the bottom on a lot of these major tokens out here. I'm pretty interested in the AI sector with crypto. I know Michael Burry and I might not look eye to eye, but I love the movie The Big Short, and he's smarter than I could ever dream to be. But he's also been like really wrong over the past 10 years. Like really, really wrong. Like to the point where he stopped tweeting because he was getting heckled so much for being wrong. But he's got billions of dollars. And I think a lot of these AI tokens out here have potential to continue running. I mean, I have my favorites out there, like the Taos and the Renders, and there's a ton out there. And I think the integration of AI and crypto is especially going to be interesting as we continue to push forward. And we talk about the arms race between us and other countries. And the two things that keep getting mentioned is AI and crypto almost separately, but they integrate as well. So it's a space I'm pretty interested in.
Yeah. And again, this is just, you know, some quick gainers, but if you flip this to, you know, let's go 7 days and see what everybody's looking like. There are some still winners over this. Let's Zcash obviously up there. ICP, Internet Computer, man. What a legend. They've been around forever. So there's still some winners. One Inch Network. Damn, there's some Near. Things Near. They're getting off the mat here. Interesting to see. Let's go out to 14 days, see what's going on here.
I think this is always an interesting point too. Whenever you have such a down market, I don't even want to say it's such a down market. When you see a pullback in retail's freaking out, and Bitcoin's, you know, teetering right around 100,000, a key number. But like, what projects are bouncing off of it? Which projects are thriving? That makes me always really interested, because you can tell. I mean, if they're getting bought up in a bear day or two like this now, what's going to happen when we really start to pick up?
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up. We got about 10 minutes left. Let's do. I see Pudgy on here. We talked about that. Some Pudgy news with virtuals, and then we'll go to prediction markets to wrap it up.
Yeah, Pudgy has like an AI creator now that you can utilize, like, you know, their IP. So virtuals is on the Base network. It is an AI agent platform. It's done pretty well. It's had its fair share of ups and downs, but recently it's been picking up steam. And again, I get it. Like, I'm a Pengu holder. I've recommended to Pengu to my friends and family, and I am a huge believer in this project still. That between gaming, they're one of the few crypto companies that absolutely make millions of dollars every single month. And that's not even just in the Web3 world. They sell toys. They have a retail sector. They're integrating with Pudgy AI in creation. This IP is not going anywhere. This company's not going anywhere. So again, it's a project I'm still very bullish on, but I understand nobody likes volatility. Nobody likes to see huge red days, but sometimes when the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, the Solanas of the world take pretty big pullbacks, the higher risk assets like a Pudgy will take an even bigger fall. But again, I'm kind of like built for this stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes me like, okay, We're gonna add some more to our bag, and we're gonna continue going down that rabbit hole, because I see a path for them to be even more successful than what we could dream. And it's just another case where they keep shipping.
Well, and either, you know, you're either a long term holder and you can live with it, or, you know, at one point I know the Pudgy from the bottom, I was up like 400%. It's like, hey, you got to figure out how to, you know, do some risk management, and I did that, and you end up selling some because your stop losses get hit. But what you did was you raised cash. You're like, hey, if it goes higher, I still have some. If it goes lower, you know, now I got some cash. We can, yeah, maybe buy a little bit more Pengu. Who knows? Not personal financial advice, but that's something that I've definitely been eyeing up, along with some BMNR for sure. When, you know, again, volatility is just really opportunity if you know what you're doing. But you got to make sure you're educated. And that's why, again, if you guys are interested, we got all the links down there to join Momentum Moneymakers. Or if you want kind of the broader subscription, I know our guy came and hooked us up with a little $1 trial link down there as well. So check it out, guys. Yeah, I don't know. Now's the time where you need education and information. So, you know, we appreciate you being here on the show. But also, if you're interested in getting more, check out those links. Let's finish up on some prediction markets, because, again, the prediction market race, as we've been correctly predicting, double prediction there, correctly. Like, you've been all over this. We've been talking on the show. I don't want to click this from Bloomberg, but Gemini. Yeah, Gemini.
The wrong link there.
Yeah, all good. Gemini is Gemini's doing a prediction market. Shout out to Gemini, presenting sponsor of the Crypto 101 podcast. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. And then Google had a big partnership with Kalshi,
Polymarket.
That's huge. And Polymarket. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not creating their own prediction markets, but they're using the data in their search results. So I say this to everyone that's curious about prediction markets. We have, Robinhood, Underdog, Crypto.com, now Gemini, all these DraftKings buys Railbird. We have all these multi-million and billion-dollar companies now leaning into prediction markets. It's kind of the meta of the world right now, but prediction markets are awesome. They're for so many ways. If you're just interested in utilizing prediction markets in a very, from the wagering standpoint, or if that's just from a straight data. We have the New York Stock Exchange parent company, ICE, put up $2 billion to get the data. Now we have Google Finance rolling out Polymarket and Kalshi prediction markets data and search results because the data is worth so much, and it's some of the most accurate data we absolutely have. And I can't get enough of it. I think I put it on the sheet. It doesn't matter if you show it, but I've been following the government shutdown odds recently on Polymarket. And I did see a huge spike because the other day it looked like it was going to end between the 8th and the 11th. And I saw this huge spike that after November the 16th. Still not a tremendous amount of time away, but I would love to see it like this government. I'm trying to get on an airplane eventually. They're cutting 10% of flights next week. And that's when it's really going to start impacting people. Not even from like people getting around for vacation or traveling for Thanksgiving. We're talking about just like delivering goods if we're losing flights. So I think this is going to take care of itself sooner rather than later. And if we're looking at Polymarket, they're saying 60% chance it's going to happen after November the 16th with a pretty big spike recently.
Yeah, that is interesting. But that goes along with my thought of earlier in the show is like, hey, this is going to get done before Thanksgiving, which I guess at this point, you know, isn't a huge like risk curve, but it makes sense. It's time to get done. I kind of like the 12th through 15th a little bit too. Maybe a little action.
Not gonna lie. Let's just say $20 wins you $75. Not financial advice, but that'd be a fun little sweat. That's all I know.
Yeah, having a little fun. At least I finally got one prediction market thing right when I did the I bought the 30-day when it was low, man, and then just the odds spiked up. I didn't even wait for it to close. I just sold it, but it was like that was the fun part of that. It was getting something right on Polymarket and Kalshi for once. But we like the big odds. Brian and I are risk takers. We like the big odds. We're going to kick it around for another 5 minutes or so. If we have any questions, throw them in the chat. We'll get you guys involved. We'll answer some questions from the chat. Just an absolutely buzzing Friday. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to, you know, go dive onto Twitter about, Brian? A little open forum here before we close the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're talking about prediction markets. I was absolutely dominating prediction markets for a couple of weeks there, months. Positive P&L. I'm in the top 10% of P&L, feeling great about it. And I have given it back. They launched sports. It started with the Delaware Blue Hens.
No, don't say that.
Then I've been chasing ever since. So I've given quite a bit back, but I'm still super bullish on these prediction markets. I think we see a token. I think Paul even committed to saying that they're gonna have a token. So at least if I catch a loser, I'm like, well, I'm gonna get it all back with the token airdrop. But we've had a little bit of a – I should maybe just stay in my lane with the crypto predictions. I feel like I'm really sharp on that side of things. But then when you start – you know, I'm starting to, like, dabble with some NFL and NCAA bets out there. And for some reason, I just keep losing by half a point.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's par for the course. If I'm sure, if you look at our DraftKings or FanDuel accounts, but let's see. So we got Fed decision. Let's see. Let's look at that, because that's one that's definitely been some odds changing here recently, with definitely the data being dark. So what do we got here? What was this? 25 bips decrease was pretty high at one point. Halloween last week, it was 90%. Now it's dropping because we're not getting the data. Plus the Fed speak was pretty nasty of not knowing what they want to do. And then no change, 24%, 75%, still pretty high.
Yeah, still pretty high, man. It was actually 60 something percent yesterday, I believe. And so it must have bounced back a little bit. Just goes to show you that you can get some opportunity out here. Yeah, it's 66% just the other day. And so we're starting to climb back up again. I think we're getting 25 bips. I don't want to touch this, but I think we're still getting 25 bips.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think the most interesting part is in 26, which is something that, you know, we'll be covering for sure. But I was thinking about this the other day, was like the next big storyline is the next Fed chair. And what's going to happen to the Fed? Obviously, the administration gets to choose who it's going to be. And that story is going to be told in 26, and it'll be awesome to cover it and watch it. We know that they want to pack it with a bunch of doves and get rates lower. But it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. And we knew it was coming. And now, obviously, as the year ends and, you know, you're kind of seeing the timeline of when that will happen is kind of coming into scope, if you will. And I think that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch out for, see how markets react, see how, you know, the prediction markets react. But I do wonder if possibly, you know, I think the Fed, as we said, it's a tough job. It's hard to do it perfect, if not impossible to do it perfect. So I have no personal, you know, thoughts of Fed Chair Powell than I thought. You know, I think he holds the position well and speaks well. You can disagree with him. That's fine. That's part of having opinions and doing your research. But at the same time, I think he holds himself well. But I wonder if at the end of his term is like, you know, again, he's going to be in the history books no matter what. So, you know, how does he want to be seen in the history books? Is he going by the numbers? Or are there other people in the Fed that we know, you know, have kind of a political agenda? That, you know, both sides have political agendas, but it's like, dude, it's like a TV show almost. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And as his time comes to an end, I feel like personal feelings and, you know, politics might get more involved around decisions, knowing what's going to happen after he leaves office, if that makes sense.
Oh, for sure. He needs to stop wearing that purple tie. My gosh.
99%.
Yeah. I mean, he's just all over that purple tie. I'm on the wrong side every week, every month. I mean,
yeah, well, we didn't get any questions, but man, the chat was buzzing from Ryan to Fitz to CJE. Don't forget, Deborah says go Hens. How about that? Hens homecoming this weekend. Got some friends down in Newark, Delaware, to go see the Hens win their homecoming game tomorrow. So we might have to get up some action. But great live. Any final thoughts, Ryan, before we sign off?
No, I mean, even though we're a little red and we're bleeding a little bit, still no reason for me to be overly concerned. It's just a lot of buddies and family friends and texting me what's going on, and I'm giving them the answers, and they don't like to hear what I have to say. I'm just like, time to keep dollar cost averaging in.
Hey, but that's what we always say. That's why you're here. And we, you know, we show up to the music, whether it's red or green. And we've been doing this for years, and we're going to keep doing it for years because it's truly what we love to do. We appreciate everybody joining in. But hey, at least we face the music when it's red. Again, zooming out, I agree with you. There's not that much to be worried here, but there's going to be a ton of stuff going into the end of the year. Markets are going to go up, they're going to go down, and there's going to be tons of information, but you're in the right place. So please give it a like, subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Again, I put this on our post to let you know that we were going live. I'm trying to be better than that now that we're getting to the flow. We got a lot more lives coming next week and through the rest of the year. We appreciate you joining. My name's TiVo for Brian. This is the Crypto 101 Podcast. Hope you guys enjoy your weekend, but that's all for today. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good one.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.